Numbers chapter 11, devil. You know what we're going to talk about? We're going to talk about Moses tonight. Numbers chapter 11, verse 4, it says, "And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again, and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes." Down to verse 10. "Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant, and wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldest say unto me, Carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father bearing the sucking child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? Whence should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, Give us flesh that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me." And I want you to focus on this verse. "And if thou deal thus with me, kill me. Kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word tonight. I thank you for its truth. And Lord, I ask that you would use me, give me power with the Holy Spirit to preach the word that you've laid on my heart. And Lord, not only give me the Holy Spirit's power, but Lord, I ask that the Holy Spirit would touch our hearts tonight. Lord, that we could see some truth from your word, and that it would cut where it needs to cut. It would expose what needs exposed. And Lord, I ask that you would heal the wounds with your word and with your love. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. And amen. Amen. So verse 4 talks about the mixed multitude. You know what that is? That's the riffraff. That's the group that starts to complain there. So you've got Moses and the children of Israel, and then you've got this group starting to complain. And right after the complaining happens, well, first they fell a-lusting, and then the children of Israel begin to weep. "Who shall give us flesh to eat?" Crying out, "Where are we going to get this flesh?" And let me tell you something. Egypt in the Bible is always a picture of the world. Over and over again, when you see Egypt, it is the world, it is sin, it is bondage. That's over and over again. And there they are complaining because they want flesh like they had in Egypt. And you know what they say? They start going back. I can see it now. They talk about the remember whens. Remember when we were eating the fish. Remember when we had the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. We used to enjoy that in Egypt. And you know what? We can just bring this to today's this day and age, and someone will say, "Remember after a hard day of work, maybe mowing the grass on a summer day, remember when we used to crack open a cold beer and refresh ourselves after that?" You know what happens? When you start as a Christian person, when you start those remember wins, and those remember wins are when you were back in Egypt, that's a dangerous place right there. You know what I get sick of? I get sick of some Christian people that I don't know if they're not satisfied with God. I don't know if they're in the right place spiritually or what the problem is. But when they talk about when they used to be a sinner out in the world, it almost sounds better than the way they are today. Let me tell you something. The devil will remind you of every good thing that you, every little pleasure you enjoyed just for a small season. Just like he reminded them of a few good foods they liked to eat back there. And you know what? It is no coincidence that they said, "We miss, you know what we miss out there in Egypt?" They didn't say food. You know what they said? The flesh. "We miss that old fleshly lifestyle out in Egypt." And they start complaining out there. And let me tell you something. You know what the devil doesn't remind you? He forgot to remind them in all of this that when they were back in Egypt, they were in bondage. When they were were in Egypt. They were under Pharaoh's lash. You remember what Pharaoh did? He took their land. He took their possessions. He took everything from them. And then he made them slaves. And when they started acting like they wanted to worship God and go out in the wilderness and give an offering to God, he made them make brick without any straw. He made it worse for them. And that's what we need to remember. Our time in Egypt, our time in this sinful world, before we accepted Christ, before He came into our life and it changed us, it was a horrible life. You want a reminder of it? You look out here at this world where they're at. They're not satisfied. They can't find any good thing. This world just drives them to one thing and drives them to another thing. I haven't seen so much mental illness in my entire life. They don't even understand that there's a boy and a girl, a man and a woman, and those are two different things, and you can't start out one way and end another way and vice versa. I'm telling you what, that's a mental illness. I don't care what the world thinks. You know, I gave that example about the beer. What you forget is when you woke up the next day with a hangover, and you woke up the next day and didn't have any money, and all your friends were gone, and the problems you tried to forget about when you were drinking, they're all back there, and now you've got even more problems on top of that. That's what He doesn't remind you. Oh, but one thing I would like to remind the children of Israel is that when you were in bondage, God saw you. He was there, and He sent Moses to stand up to Pharaoh and to tell him, listen, you're going to let my people go. And every time that Pharaoh resisted, God brought a plague to try to change Pharaoh's mind. That's what they forgot. The God that brought them out of Egypt. The God that let them plunder the Egyptians. Remember, they gave away all their golden earrings and everything else on the way out. Then they hit the Red Sea and trouble came. And God got them through that. And then when they got crossed over onto the other side in dry land and got to the other side, and Pharaoh's army and his chariots and everything else were coming, God brought the Red Sea back upon him. And that's what they forget about, how God saved them. And you know what? One of the things that we need to remember is when before we were saved, there were times in our life where we knew that if we died that way, we would wake up in hell. That's the memory you need to remember out in this world. Egypt is not my home. I don't want to go back. And you say, Mike, you didn't spend much time there. Let me tell you something, one day is in Egypt is too long of a time. I love the Lord. I love where I'm going. I'm seeking a better country. I'm seeking one that understands where who is God is. The country I'm living in right now, they don't understand anything. They may understand something one day, and the next day they change their mind. I'm telling you what, I'm glad Jesus showed great mercy on me and my soul, and that He was there and that He died in my place. But you know what they complained about? Not only were they remember winning, you know what else they complained about? Oh, and this is bad. Look at it. Look there in verse 6. But our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna. You know what they got sick of? They got sick of this right here. That's what the manna was. It was a picture of the Word of God. And you know what else? Let me tell you something. The first sign, I believe, one of the very first signs that you are in trouble spiritually is you start to get tired of this right here. You start to get tired of eating this each and every day, taking it in and letting it affect your life. Let me tell you something. You get tired of this. Next thing you'll get tired of is getting down on your knees and praying. And then the next thing, you'll end up just like them, murmuring and complaining. And that's where they got. I'm telling you what, if this word doesn't satisfy you anymore, you're in the same state that they're in, and it's not a good state. And there's nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. I'm telling you what, that's a spiritual problem, and the next thing you know, you'll be looking back at Egypt saying, man, I wish we were back there. Yeah. So you know what? That lusting for the flesh, I believe, was caused by a lack of wanting the Word of God. But you know what happens? So we skip down to verse 10, and it says Moses, he started to hear these things. He was listening. And you know who Moses was? He was pretty much a pastor to them. That's what he was. The big old million more, however big church that he had for 40 years that he pastored out there in the wilderness and somehow kept them all together. I don't know how he did it, but I'm telling you what, he started hearing them saying that they're not satisfied with God's Word and His manna. Not satisfied. They began to complain, and the Bible even says, it says it right there, they lusted after the flesh. That's what they wanted. And it started to displease Moses. And let me tell you something. Moses started getting burdened by this. It started weighing heavy on his heart. I want to tell you a little secret right now. When you start to complain, when you start to lust after the flesh, when you start to get tired of this Word, let me tell you something. Just like it bothers Moses, it bothers your pastors as well. And it puts a great burden on us as well. I'm telling you what, that complaining, we hear the complaining. A lot of times, you're not even quiet about it. You'll do it right here in the sanctuary sometimes. You'll get the critical spirit, whether it's before the service. Sometimes you get on your phone and do it on Facebook. You know, we read that as well. Sometimes it's in a business meeting where the critical spirit comes out. But I'm telling you what, Moses took this personally. He did. That's what you see in here. Realize the pastor will do the same thing. You say, but Mike, it's not Moses' fault. It's the people's fault. Yeah, but you know what Moses is thinking? God's put me in leadership over them. That's the same thing we're thinking. It frustrates us. You know what we do? We take it out on ourselves. God, it's my fault. I should have taught them better. I should have worked harder. I should have prayed harder. It's my fault. I want you to realize that. It takes a toll. And year after year of that, it starts to add up and take a bigger toll and a bigger toll. And here we see, he's burdened by it. I want you to realize something. That your actions like this, do you realize that not only, look what happened. Moses hears it, verse 10. And it said, the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Do you realize it both has consequences with God and with man? Both, there are consequences of the leader, and he's just looking down and he's frustrated and doesn't understand why it's happening. And he's brought down. And you know what happens in a time of weakness like that? Let me tell you what used to happen in Bible days. Deuteronomy 25:17, it says, remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way when you were come forth out of Egypt, how he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee, even they that were feeble behind thee, and thou that was faint and weary, and he feared not God. Remember the Amalekites? They never fought fair. They didn't send men to the front lines to fight the other front lines of the children of Israel. No, they would sneak around back to where they were feeble and they were faint and they were weary, and that's where they would attack. And let me tell you something, Moses started getting discouraged. He started listening to what the people were complaining about, and it started to burden him. He started to get more weary with it and more weary with it, and there comes the devil sneaking around back. He can see one that's getting weary, one that's burdened down, and that's where he starts attacking. And you know what? The Bible doesn't say what he told Moses, and you know what? It doesn't matter, because he'll tell you something different, whatever it takes to get you discouraged. And you know what? And then he gets to this point. He gets to a low point in verse 15 in the passage we read. He says, and if thou deal thus with me, talking to God, he said, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand. And if thou hast found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. The same man who stood up against Pharaoh, the mighty Pharaoh, in God's name, and said, you're going to have to let us go. Even when Pharaoh kept saying no. The same mighty man that led them out. The same mighty man that hit the Red Sea. This is the same Moses I'm talking about. And now what's he telling God? God, take me now. Kill me. Take me. Right now. That's how low he got. This man that had been so powerfully led by God. Hebrews 11, I told you I love coming to it. 11, 27 through 29 says, "By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned." This was a great man that God is talking about. And now he's telling God, he's basically saying, "God, if you love me, then kill me. Take my life so I won't be a disappointment anymore. Take my life so I won't be the wretched leader that I am right now." And that depression, that took him to this dark place. And he began all with the complaining people that were lusting after the flesh, that didn't like the Word of God. And then I see what starts to happen. It starts in verse 11 and it goes down to verse 15. In our passage, Moses is talking to the Lord. He says, "I have not found favor." And then he says, "You're putting the burden of the people upon me and I and me and I and me." That's what happens. We start turning back here. I. Over and over again. And that's what Moses is starting to do. You know what? You start looking here. We said it the other night, you'll get in trouble. You know what you need to look at? Well, the cross is gone, but if it was up there, look at Jesus Christ. That's who we compare ourselves to. That's who we compare ourselves to, is Jesus Christ. And that's what happened. You start looking at others and it'll get you in trouble. You start looking at yourself, it'll get you in trouble. You look at the author and finisher of your faith and that's where you'll be all right. Because he started looking and he started saying, "God, I've done this. God, I have this burden. God, look at me. Look at my problems," over and over again. And this is what the devil wants, to get you alone. By yourself, thinking you're the only one. Does that sound familiar? Remember Elijah? Big victory against false religion up on Mount Carmel. Remember? Stood up to the whole nation and the king Ahab. And then he's off after that victory. And then he didn't get an email. Maybe he got a letter, I don't know. Maybe somebody hand-delivered it and said, "Uh-oh, Jezebel wants you dead." Then he's afraid. And what's he do? He runs. But then he leaves that servant behind. So that way he's the only one. By the time he gets to the juniper tree, he's all by himself. What did Elijah say? Same thing. "God, take me. Take my life. Just take me." You know, if we look at this rationally, if we take a step back, take the fear out of it, it's not us, and look at Elijah, doesn't it sound kind of ridiculous? He's afraid of Jezebel killing him, so he goes to God and says, "Kill me." Right? But don't we do that? In the heat of the battle, after a big mountaintop, then trouble comes. The worst thing is to get yourself by yourself. You know what that means? That means when tragedy strikes, I know it's hard. Come back in here. Come back in here. Maybe you can't do what you did normally, but just sit down and feed on the Word of God and the prayers and the love of each other that'll help build you back up. What did God say in a still small voice to Elijah? He said, "There are 7,000 that have not kneeled down or worshiped Baal." Right? What's God going to tell Moses later on in the passage? He's saying, "You choose 70 elders, 70 good men, and I'm going to put the same spirit that I put in you in them." And what are they going to do? Help you carry the burden. You know what he's saying to him? "You're not alone. I've got others to help you." And that's what the devil wants you to get all by yourself. He does it a lot. How many times do you hear somebody overdosed? Somebody committed suicide? They shot themselves, whatever. Where were they? Usually in the dark, by themselves. Somebody finds them the next day. That's where the devil wants each one of us. He wants us in a dark place. He wants us all by ourselves. To focus on ourselves. And that's where he wants to snuff us out. I wish I could stand here and tell you that I didn't have a situation in my life where I've said the same thing. God, just take me to heaven now. I make it sound good. I say, don't kill me. Take me to heaven. It's the same thing. Right? Have you ever been there? You know what blesses me? Is if we didn't have stories like this, Elijah, powerful prophet. Moses, powerful leader. Both of them hit the same low point. You know what? You know what God did? Came to both of them and said, I'm still here. I still love you. I'm still going to use you. I've got people around you that will help you. Let's go on. And that's what they both did. They went on. They kept going. Not through their own strength and not by themselves. But when they started getting back together and saying, you know what? God has been with me. You know what? Jezebel can. You know what? Jezebel can threaten me. You know what? She's going to end up dead anyway. She's never going to kill me. Let me tell you something. Devil can't kill us. He can't. You know why? He lost the keys to death, hell, and the grave. He doesn't have them anymore. Why? Because the resurrection and the life came and took them from him. He doesn't even have the keys to his own house. And I'm glad that even with powerful men that are mentioned in the Hall of Faith that did wonderful things for God, hit low points in their life, and there God was to pick them back up. So that means even if you've been through a low point, or you're in a low point now, or you're going to be in a low point at some point, let me tell you something, that is no time to give up. You come together with other Christians, you, and I know, I'm the first one to keep it a secret. You know, sometimes we just try to say, you know what, we'll just keep it in our family, we don't everyone to know. But I'm telling you what, that's just a sneaky way for the devil to get you by yourself. The best thing you can do is say, brother, sister, one you know that's spiritual, say, will you pray for me? You don't have to give them every detail, but I'm telling you what, if one of you guys say that to me, I need to be on my knees and say, you know what? You need to put a hedge around them, Lord. You need to build them up. You need to strengthen them and carry them through this trial. I'm telling you what, and He will do it. And that's why He's put us together. It's not an individual thing. I'm telling you what, this story, it does give us a warning. You know what we need to feed on every day? Is this right here. The manna. You start to get tired of the manna. You start not wanting the manna anymore. That's a sign to get on your knees and say, Lord, give me the hunger back. Because the only substitute, or that I shouldn't say substitute, if you're not feeding on this, you will feed on the flesh. Say, Mike, I don't know if I believe that. Oh, so if you're not looking at that, what are you looking at? What is this? Right. Quick access to Egypt right here. Right at the palm of our hand. Right here, Egypt. I can get Egypt in many different ways. I can find it over and over again. What Egypt thinks. What Egypt likes. I heard a preacher say this morning, I was listening to a message, and he said those that hate the truth, I don't remember, but it's something about truth haters. He just turned it around, an old hillbilly preacher. I said, I like that. You know why? Because they hate the truth right now. This world hates the truth. We tell them what the Bible says, and they'll call us a bigot and say you're a hater and you're just old-fashioned and you're dumb and unlearned and you just don't care about anybody. And I'll tell you what, Jesus said they hated me first. They're going to hate you too. And I tell you what, I'm seeing it over and over again. But I tell you, when we get away from this, we're getting the world. And that's what the devil wants. He'll creep in any way he can. Any way he can. And you know what? The only thing that counteracts darkness is light. Amen. And I'm glad. But the other thing is, be careful. When you start complaining, that's another problem too. Because we don't complain usually to just ourselves. It starts that way. Then we start complaining to others. You know what happens? We start to get a mixed multitude, just like this story started. The riffraff. Right. Complaining. All together. You know what? It may hurt your pastor. It may. I look back in my life and I said, sorry. Sorry, Lord, for the times I've done that. I've been in that mixed multitude. Plenty of times. Complaining. Did it do any good? No. It can bring a man down to the point where he's asking God, just take me. I'm worthless. That's what he's saying. You know what? You're not worthless. God's got a plan for you.
Amen.
You know how I know that? You got a pulse? He's got a plan for you.
Amen.
Right? Are you here still? He's got a plan for you. When the plan ends, that's when He'll take you.
Right.
He knows He's good at timing. He knows it. I'm glad that He's put us together. And we've weathered storms before, and we'll weather more storms, and we'll do it together, and we'll do it based on His Word. Anything else will cause trouble. I ask everyone to stand. We hit different things tonight. I don't know. I said a lot of words. And I don't know what was for what, which person. You know, because the Holy Spirit hits you right at a certain part. Whatever that part is, or whatever the parts were, He's saying, that's it. He's saying, that's it. You know what God's Word is? It's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
One edge cuts, and it hurts, it exposes. You know what the other edge does? It cuts and sets free. That's the double edge. You know what? The part that hurts is to show you where we need to work on something. But all that'll do is when you work on it through God's help, it'll set you free.
Amen.
It'll set you free.
Sure.
You know, it'd be wonderful if God would just take away the critical spirit that we like to have. Man, that'd be wonderful if God could just take it away. You know what it starts with? Getting on your knees and asking Him. Have you ever asked Him to say, God, help my attitude? And you know what? Quiet my mouth when it needs quieted. So like I said, I don't know what part hit you, but as she sings, I ask you to come. Just come and pray. Just deal with God. If He's dealing with you, deal with Him.